This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Alec Murdaugh. Let's talk about old Alec. His case just moved twice in 2 days. A federal judge has now thrown out Murdaugh's $600,000 lawsuit against Becky Hill, the former clerk whose jury interference got his murder convictions overturned. The next day, his lawyers have filed a motion demanding prosecutors dig back through every file and every agency for anything that could help him before the April retrial through a Brady Giglio motion. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, is here with us to discuss. Let's talk about the lawsuit getting thrown out. First of all, I found it kind of interesting. $600,000 was at play. It was really never about the money. That was the vehicle to get the lawsuit going. But when studying the argument, you can hate Alec Murdaugh and he can still make valid arguments. $600,000, he says, he spent out of his retirement accounts to pay his attorneys. And then because Becky Hill screwed up the trial, now he has to do this all over again. So because she screwed it up, that tainted the pool. All that money I spent, even though he lost, well, he's outed. He's already paid it. He should get that paid back since he has to go back and do this all over again. The court said, nope, she wasn't the true cause, the injury, if you will, to this, and you don't get that money back. I don't know. I kind of agree with Alec on that one. She tainted the pool. She should probably pay, but the judge did keep the door open and said, you know, after the next trial, you might still be able to bring this one back, and you still might be able to try and get Becky a bill. What are your thoughts? Was this the right call to toss it out on the grounds that they did?
Well, first of all, Alec Murdaugh, it's nauseating to me. No matter what, he has to go to trial. Right? Yeah. That first trial is happening with or without Becky Hill. Yeah. So he was going to go to trial no matter what. So the preposterous notion that Becky Hill has to pay for his trial that he would have had to do no matter what is just that preposterous. Okay, so just on the face there. Becky Hill screws the pooch in the first trial, which is also nauseating that she stuck her nose and her mouth and idiotically decided to jabber badly about Alec Murdaugh, ruining that conviction. And now he has to do it again. He should be doing jumping jacks and whistling Dixie that she screwed up.
He's probably whistling Dixie. He does seem like someone who might whistle Dixie from behind bars. Like, what's that sound? It's this Alec. He's whistling Dixie again. Can you tell him to shut up? It's 10 o'clock at night. I'm trying to get sleep. I can see that being impressed. Alex doing Dixie. Yeah, I mean, put it this way. I mean, it's funny to argue this, but if you're having a pool party and Becky Hill decides to show up and pour toxic acid into the pool, and you have to cancel, the pool party gets canceled. You got to drain the pool. You got to bring everybody back. The caterer has to come back. Everything has to be rehired. You got to pay for it all again. She's the one who screwed it up. I think she's liable for that.
Well, no matter what, you would have paid for your pool party.
You would.
You would.
But you got a case against the person that destroyed it, too, on purpose.
Well, that's the thing. She didn't do it on purpose.
Or does she just have to? She didn't do it on
purpose. Her words were on purpose.
Yes.
I don't think she had any idea the impact that it would have. I really don't.
Just because she's an idiot. You can't fix that part.
You can't fix that part. I mean, I was wondering how many other times she decided to, you know, songbird.
So do I. I think every single case that's ever been near this woman, it should be reviewed for whatever she decided to be a songbird at. But it is an interesting argument. But the argument is, well, she can pay for your second one, maybe. if they want to bring a second suit off of this after the second trial. So she's obviously not in prison, but she's also not now having to pay $600,000. The big point of the whole thing, though, was to get into discovery to get people in for depositions in ways that they didn't necessarily have the levers of doing through the criminal process. That's why the civil area existed. It's also not why they filed the Brady Giglio motion. What do you think, how does this hurt the defense of Alec Murdaugh, if at all? Or was this a long shot to begin with when Poot and Dick decided to file this thing a couple of months ago?
Well, I want to touch base on something you said about filing the lawsuit. 100% that is why they did it, just so they could get more information. And when it comes to Becky Hill, she's a turnip. You can't get blood from a turnip, even if it was $600,000 and the judge would have said, she would have just been like, okay, I'm going to file bankruptcy. I can't pay this. I can never pay this. She doesn't have that kind of money. She's in lots of trouble money-wise, I think anyway, with everything she had to put out to defend herself. And obviously her book didn't make a dime because it was yanked from the shelf. So all of that aside, we know that this was for this purpose. As far as did it help them, you know, it couldn't hurt them. I mean, anytime you can get more information on a case, it's good. And anytime you can get people to discuss something multiple times, it's good because they always add, change, just accidentally. Everybody's first statement is always the one to go with. After that, it always gets corrupted, especially years down the line.
Wouldn't it be interesting if Becky did a new book? I would read that one, like about all of this, about the aftermath, about mucking up Murdaugh. There's the title, Mucking Up Murdaugh, with a foreword by Alec singing Dixie. That'd be part of the audiobook. Alec sings Dixie over the phone from prison.
Hey, I got a song I want to sing, everybody.
You know, I think it'd be great. I would get that one.
The problem is she needs something to plagiarize.
That's true.
Plagiarize.
Well,
she'd actually have to write it.
Dixie, if you get Dixie in there, that'd be plagiarizing that, although that's probably not copywritten. The new motion here doesn't name a hidden document or anything. It doesn't name a one lying witness. It demands prosecutors search 10 categories, witness deals, discipline files, lab records, and then swear in writing that nothing helpful to Murdaugh exists beyond what they have handed over. Dick Harpootlian filed it knowing that he can't really point to a single specific thing, but there's been some issues with SLED. There's been some SLED agents that have lost their jobs since the last trial for covering some things up, not necessarily connected to Murdaugh, but other cases and such, which will, I'm sure, be brought into this trial. They're going in asking, is SLED hiding something, you know, or is Harpootlian just fishing? Do you think there's anything there that might come to light? And what are the odds of Alec getting anything when you're asking SLED to investigate SLED and basically come up with anything that they didn't show the first round?
Well, first of all, I do think two things can be true at once. In other words, yes, it's a fishing expedition, but secondarily, this is all stuff that has to be provided anyway. You can't hide Brady Giglio information. If you got a bad cop, a cop who has done something against the rules, that their personnel file, if they are involved in this case, not just any miscellaneous SLED person, but if they were involved in this case, that has to be coughed up anyway. So to me, he's not asking for anything, you know, the lab work, all that. He's not asking for anything unusual or out of the ordinary. He's just putting it on record and he wants it said. There's nothing. And you know what that always makes me think with him is maybe he knows a little something and he wants to make sure that he gets it. And if he doesn't, he's going to, you know, play the, oh, wait a minute, I asked for this and you didn't give it, and see, it's right here. I wouldn't doubt that at all with him.
But wait, there's more. Yeah. I mean, and it's not like they're going into this. I mean, I'm not trying to be sympathetic to Alec Murdaugh. I think he's a horrible human being. But I don't know. There's points here to be argued. David Owen ran the Murdaugh investigation. Last year, a judge threw out the murder indictment against Michael Colucci, another case connected to Owen, after finding evidence that could have helped Colucci was never properly turned over, which is exactly what the defense of Alec Murdaugh is asking for and saying, you didn't cross the T's and dot the I's over there. Did you do it over on our side? Now the same agency is being told to go search its own Murdaugh files and report what it finds. So who's in charge of that, Jen? Who's going to go through? Is it Colucci that's going to have to go through and go, oh, yeah, shoot, I missed this? Or is an independent body going through to look for the Brady Giglio information? How do they make sure that the information goes where it needs to appropriately go?
Well, I could only tell you how it does in the Bureau.
Yeah.
If something like this comes up, you'll have a couple of, and it's the worst to get called on these teams. I've been on taint teams. Those also suck. Where basically it's like, okay, Jen, you need to look through and see if there's anything that was missed. Mm-hmm. And so you and maybe another person is literally going to go through the file and make sure they have everything that would be possibly exculpatory. The difference between, I think, the Bureau and a lot of these other agencies, when I was in, it was an open book. In other words, huge war room, and we just invited every defense attorney, come in and look. It's all right here for you. Mm-hmm. I know now, working on the expert witness side, I see they're doing a lot with just putting everything on thumb drives and sending it all out like they did in Idaho. Here's all these terabytes. Good luck. But that's the way to do it, is just you give them everything. Don't sift and sort through and say, oh, this is too much inside information on how we operate. And this is this. And just give it to them. That's the safe thing to do. And the Bureau does that. If SLED didn't do that, or because of this request, I think you're going to see a couple of SLED agents going through this and double checking that they have everything.
Yeah, I mean, cross the T's, dot the I's, because impropriety is what the defense of Murdaugh is going to be going after here. If they can't get all the way to a true third-party culprit and point a finger at somebody, that's going to be something Karen Reed-ish, where it's like, can't really say for sure it was this, but we're going to allude to this. And reasonable doubt is a powerful thing, and that's really what they're going after. One of the big pieces of evidence that's being talked about here on the Murdaugh side is the white shirt that Alec was wearing the night that they were dead. The white shirt Murdaugh wore that night was supposed to carry the blood spatter that tied him to the killing. SLED zone testing came back negative for human blood, and then a chemical applied during testing left the shirt unusable forever. No retest, no second lab ever. The defense calls it suppression. The state would call that chemical a standard step. Do you buy that the shirt was ruined by accident? Their own two agencies disagreed, and now no one else can check the shirt that they claim, you know, may have something on. One test says no, then another test said, no, there is something here. And, okay, well, let's double check it from the defense, because you're first one said no, your second one says yes, but now no one can confirm either way. It's convoluted, it's confusing, it seems a little shady, even if it's not, and I'm sure it'll be brought up in that sort of light. What do you think the shirt does for Alec Murdaugh in trial two, if anything?
Well, a couple things. First of all, this happens all the time with DNA. You only get so many chances at this microscopic piece of DNA, and then it's adulterated and nobody else can test it afterwards. So, you know, issues, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the same with this situation, in a sense, that what was used to be able to extract the blood proteins on that shirt adulterated then the shirt for further testing, just like you pointed out. Sorry to repeat. So that is absolutely a question for the jury. The jury's going to hear both sides of it. They're going to hear exactly what happened. And then the jurors are going to have to make that determination. But that's part of the process, the chemical process. You're going to have a lab technician go, listen, I do this all the time. And unfortunately, it destroys what I'm doing, but that doesn't change my results. It doesn't show my results aren't good. And then they're either going to believe the lab tech or they're not.
Well, and which one do they believe? The one, the first test that says nothing, or the second one that says magically now there might be something here? I mean,
some tests are better than others, Tony.
Sure. Yeah. It's just, what do you, it's not the strongest piece of evidence in the world at all for a case like this. And when there's so much question, it just adds another piece of doubt to the pile, it seems. We'll see where it goes. Obviously, there's many a months away before this starts, but it's going to be one of those that before you know it, it's going to be here. I mean, we're almost towards the end of this year now, so... It's starting up early next. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube on Alec Murdaugh.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.